Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
We got to make a reference. Now, we're going to double back this reference for just a second because it's going to clean up because everybody's great, but you're leaving out the preparation for the vile judgments.
Okay.
Okay? In verse 5 of chapter 15, the vile judgment. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle and the testimony in heaven was opened. That's the cleanup portion. Now we're going to have to jump, and this ain't what we're supposed to do, but just hang on. It won't take but a second. Numbers, first chapter, verse 50.
Chapter 1, okay. Verse 50. You want to go there? You want to go there?
I'm going to tell it to you. If you want to, you can, but it's the reference, so you mark it down. Behold, thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle, and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp around about the tabernacle. That becomes significant in the reference to the preparation for the vile judgments, which is where your beast applications even start anyway.
Okay, Ion, what you just read sounds like what we're doing. We're being Levites, aren't we?
Yes, you absolutely are. You absolutely are.
So I want to write that in our chart here. I got vials and bowls, chapter 5, verse 15 of Numbers. Then I would also apply that to the beast of the sea part?
Well, it does, because, see, that's where the sea of glass is mingled with fire. That's when you got 1 foot on the sea and 1 foot on the mountain, on the land.
That relates to the Numbers quote, or?
It does. This is the preparation for the vile judgment. And then now they start referencing the tabernacle, which is what's going to undo your beast reference that we said we didn't want to activate too vehemently. So now you've got to jump to Numbers chapter 1, verse 50, and that's giving the details, the bill of particulars of how the Levitical order was to handle the tabernacle, not the temple, the tabernacle, and those vessels thereof. Now, Jenny, the vessels thereof would include what in reference to the Revelation? It's not a trick question, we promise.
It's the bowls and the cups and the articles that are in the tabernacle.
That's correct. But now that, just like Bob said earlier, that would be a metaphor for what practical application in Revelation. See, that's the point. That's what Bob was saying he was inferring that bigger picture, and we agree, okay? And it's a nice cleanup. So we'll tell you then this application, Brian, of how it applies to the big picture is the single. All the elements that are laid out in the Revelation become critical by the time that you actually start retrieving your power back from the Ark of the Covenant. The vessels are what will be used. Now, and Greggy, if you don't get what those applications are, then we may have trouble, but you do, the different applications.
Keep going.
That's right. Keep on chopping. You'll be all right. Now, once that plays into focus, Bob, the focus now becomes the vessels of the tabernacle are the by default elements that are laid out in Revelation for the individual human creators to get to their throne. They don't speak of anyone who arrives at their throne leaving their throne, do they? In anywhere in the work. Once you get to the throne, you're good, as Tina would say. We love Tina. We're good. I'm good. Once you get to the throne, it doesn't say, now hold 1 foot up and don't piss off the beast and don't don't fuck with the elders, and don't do this, and don't drink the blood of the lamb, and don't piss over the altar, or you'll be removed from the throne. Nowhere does it have any application of that. And that's significant. So once you come to this place, you come to it, Brian. That's what you were trying to make reference to earlier in applying the specifics. The bill of particulars, but that is inclusive of the big picture. So all these other elements, Bob, that you pointed out and that we've laid out here are now the sustenance points that it is important for all the vessels thereof. Those are the incremental parts that are laid out in the whole revelation. But you can't just talk angel and skip the articles in the tabernacle,
right,
or you'll trunk a low pison.
Right.
Okay,
because
Ion.
On the tabernacle, I'm sorry, Ion, it just came to me. What's in the tabernacle is the showbread.
That's exactly correct.
That's right.
Okay. What is the tabernacle?
What they used before they built the temple. It's the housing of the Ark of the Covenant.
And
that's only important because that's where the power, human creator's power is contained until they get back to God.
Okay, and the vessels, what are the vessels?
Well, that's been laid out in Revelation between the bowls. Well, no, go ahead, Jenny, you got this.
Can I add, in my practicality, all of the vessels are things that contain things, and what I heard into their containment was labyrinth of the mind traps that have to be released.
From a practical application, we cannot disagree with you. However, just like the reference that Bob cleaned up already with the beast, once you get to the throne, most all of those pulling things that you're describing will all but wither away.
Agreed. God, of course, absolutely.
So we don't want to activate it, but at the same time, we want to make it up with pinpoint accuracy what you're discussing, so that you can actually hear what's already been done, which you have, and apply it into the ramification of the big picture. If that, maybe that may not be the right way. It's a picture, or the full Monty, full frontal non-physical nudity. You know, you can check to see if you're testicularly challenged or not. The whole picture's
unfolded. Ion, those things would be the road signs up onto the altar, to the throne. Once you get to the throne, the road signs are useless.
Brian, what's your take on that? Because you may have an absolute opinion regarding that.
I wasn't following you. I was still trying to get the vessels down.
Yeah, let me say this. Well, what's coming to me, Ion, is the vessels of the tabernacle are what we do on cash flow, what we're doing in this series, the recordings, the revelations. These are setting a little skeleton structure, a pup tent, for people to be in a tabernacle before they get to their Ark of the Covenant throne thing. Because I keep hearing the Levi thing you said, and what we're doing. Is that what you're talking about? That we're making little vessels?
No. Now, since you brought that up, Bob, is everybody okay for this little moment? Because there's one more point since Bob jumped in the rabbit hole.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm good.
Okay. Numbers, chapter 1, verse 51. We said this wasn't a trick, Jenny, but we didn't apply that to Bob. And when the tabernacle sitteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death.
That sort of sounds like what I'm talking about.
Well, it's the completion, because you're saying correctly so, that this is sort of what the vessels are, what we're doing on cash flow, putting it out there, letting everyone have a taste of it, tell them how delicious our Kool-Aid is, and all this kind of stuff. But until you get this together, if you're a stranger, just walk it in and say, hell yeah, I want some of that damn Bob Kool-Aid. That Bob is kicking it with his Kool-Aid. If that's the case, when the tabernacle is pitched, one coming into their place of power on the throne, as is completely, thoroughly laid out, the blow by blow of coming to the altar, coming into the throne, applying the blood of the Lamb, activating the DNA, overcoming the beast, lining up the stages and the levels of heaven, following the degrees of the trumpet, the seals and the bowls, and those vessels contained therein. If you try to go ahead of this process and just show up to the tabernacle without taking the full amount, and a stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death.
So you're saying, you're emphasizing the realm of preparation here.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes, Bob. Exactly. Right.
But if somebody thinks they're going to come in and short-circuit it, don't worry, child of God. It'll get took care of.
Right.
And it doesn't say that Jenny has to be the smoter, because we've already thoroughly described and laid out that no human can take another human's life. So there might be some angel interaction here in numbers that they're laying out very clearly. So if someone's going to be, we're not using this in any Gregorius, but we're not talking about Greggy. If someone became Gregorius and pushing through to get it out, and they short-step the vessels and the tabernacle, it will end in tears.
Right.
So the angels have the handle on the trap door in front of the temple.
Well, no, the angels are in the tabernacle. The angels, the showbread, the pot of manna, is protected by the angels.
Well, but yes, but you see, the tabernacle doesn't contain the showbread.
Oh, right, okay.
It's because of the glory around the power that's the ark, which holds, is held in the tabernacle, is what causes the manna to rain down on heaven. That's
right,
called and that's where the New Testament picks it up. And Jesus said, hey, you Samaritan bitch, draw me some water. Well, that's not how that plays out, you see. That ain't how it's supposed to go.
Hey, Ion. So having living water and the bread of life is part of the preparation.
Yes, Bob. Yes, very good.
Very
good. Okay.
Preparation.
And you won't usurp it. So that's why.
Hey, Ion, hold it. I want to put it on the record. Rai, R-H-Y-E-E. Is a term for cosmic awareness. When Ion goes, I-E, that's not referring to Rai, I understand that's a quote from the Emerald Tablets. Am I right?
You are absolutely correct. It's not
There's
Rai,
difference.
It's I.
Yeah. That's
what
said in the Emerald
laid
Tablets.
Out in the Emerald Tablets. And if Bob ever decides to release that, y'all going to laugh. It's delicious. It's early Ion. It's pretty good.
The early years.
The early years, yeah, back when Bob really didn't know nothing. It was great fun then. Not only did he not know nothing, you couldn't tell him nothing either. It was great.
There you go.
It was a true McLuhanite in those days.
Yeah, that would be May, June 2009. So you're talking 2 months of Ion, and then we did the Emerald Tablets. Go ahead, Greg.
So the bread of life and the living water precedes that place in the tabernacle, and it must be part of the process, as you said, or you show up without that in your history.
Well, it's more of usurping of it's more, you're fine. It's actually more of the determined usurping of the vessels of the tabernacle that'll do you. It'll turn out church faster than anything. It's perfectly fine in a process. perfectly fine in a process. But if you go, I don't need no bread of life. I don't need no living water. I'm a god. I'll do what the fuck I want to. Well, good luck with that. And
yeah,
we're not fighting that. And we ain't fighting that anymore. JW has cried and pined and moaned and moped around, feeling everything that every human creator on the planet's running around that he gets involved with. And, honey, we're going to tell you right here, right now, he has let it go.
Aww.
If they do, well. If they don't, well. And he'll look out on the field that was white for harvest, and he will smile because it's right. It's time to thrust in the sickle and reap. It is thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that is, and it softens all of this issuance of commanded demands of usurping their very own rules and regulations regarding a simple, easy work.
Yeah, when we talk about Iondom, you know, we put up the message, people get their non-physical reminded, activated. And then we go about making the bread of life and living water, providing these recordings. That's that Vessels of Tabernacle preparation stuff that humans seem to require. They want a way of thinking about what they got shocked into, what got activated.
It's what the Levitical order was even created for. You didn't have to have the Levites looking after it. But you did, so fine. So then you set these all these rules and regulations up regarding the incremental placement of power and how you get back to God. And if you think at the last second you're going to come in and usurp the very setup that you set up as God, it don't play like that. That dog won't hunt.
Okay, Ion, the chemical bond of nature is the resonant interval. You have the shock of the new. And then as you react to that and think about what you thought you knew in relation to the shock of the new stuff, that period of poise and contemplation or panic is what the recordings are for. You have the shock of cash flow. Then the next 5 days is people sort of checking out old archives, listening to new recordings, going through revelation. As they process the shock of Wednesday, then they come back the next one and get shocked or activated pleasantly again. And then the falling back in the resonant interval between the Wednesdays is what a lot of daily activity is.
As Brian said this best of all, it didn't mean shit to me till I actually figured out what relax and allow meant. And then I could embrace the revelation.
Yeah, so he heard the word.
Then,
he heard it.
Then I could embrace it.
Yeah, and he heard the meme, the theme, and he worked on it, and he thought about it. He heard shows. He's trying to figure it out. That's working the resonant interval till he gets it, which is like remembering how he originally thought it was significant when he first heard it.
And the process that he set up in order for his journey to arrive at his place on the throne. Very good.
So is the Vessels of the Tabernacle what we're talking about just last 5 minutes? Is that what?
Yes. 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 That is great. Now, Jenny, you have insight regarding our vast vomit that was just there. What insight would you share?
Hold on. I was on mute because I didn't want to make noise.
You're right, dear.
Insight.
How about Ginny, in light of what we just said, state what you said 10 minutes ago when you first defined the vessels.
Good.
Just that they are, I don't even know. I mean,
you quoted something about the artifacts and the table.
Oh, well, there's the showbread. There's the showbread. And there's the rod of Aaron. And there are the angels.
Well, and it does show how to prepare the bread of life in the Old Testament, has it not?
That's correct. Yes, it does.
Okay. Down to exactly how much of what to use and where to put it and how to do it and the whole shmeal, correct?
That's correct. Yes, it's
so not too big a mystery, is it?
No, it's not.
Ion, how could you get through all of the vessels and get to a place where you'd go, I'm not having the rest of that. I'm not taking that other last step.
Easy. You get corralled into an inference place of how it's made available, and you start usurping the very blessing that's been provided for you, to the point that your own labyrinth of your mind, instead of knocking the walls down, you build the labyrinth higher, and then you get to this place where, okay, I'm not having this bread. I ain't getting no bread alive. I ain't drinking no water. I don't like water. Bread and water is what they give prisoners to constipate them. I'm not having that. I'm going around that part. I'm God, and I'm going to get it, and everybody, and whoop the man that says it isn't so. And we're saying that's not how it's going to play out.
Yeah, great phrase. You flip back into authority.
No. It's not any different than what happens on the dupes around the Book of the Revelation.
Yeah, that thread. That you started, Greg. The responses are what I am talking about.
That's exactly correct. But we didn't want to say it that way. We didn't want to say it that way, because then that would be being mean. We don't mean it. As J.W.
We don't need. Do not go into the qualifying statements about. You could have said this. That's what distract. Just state what it is. Don't go into what you could have said or what we didn't go into that. That's extra stuff.
Well, okay. The point is, I said it. Ion didn't say it. And the point is, Greg, is that what you put on there and all the blah, blah, blah bullshit that is on that dupe site about the Book of the Revelations, like Bob's in it for the money and I'm a god and I don't need this to know that and all the rest of that, that's just a foretaste, as the Bible says, of what's yet to come with people who are in denial that they're the ones that are the creators of the message, the meme, and everything else that goes along with it. And so they're going to push back against it, say they don't need it, because they're just going to declare and attain their own godship through some process and try to go around that. And then, like Ion said, usurp the blessing that's being offered, and that's not going to happen that way. And you know what? That plays out in the Bible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Ion.
That thread showed up a week before the show to demonstrate a point that we are discussing today. And those people don't know that.
That's okay. Now, that's not to say they can't get it. They certainly can. See, you hope always. Hope springs eternal, that they figure it out. That's wonderful.
But they would be amazed that what they said in reaction to Greg's post was actually a theme that would be discussed in the first session of the Bible study.
Of course.
They're justified in their own opinion about what it is. They have no idea. They're, you know, as Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks? Mm-hmm. Why are you kicking against this?
Right.
You know, Paul was out crucifying Christians when, you know, with letters, with authority from the quote unquote church. You know, persecuting. So, I mean, it happens all the time.
It does.
It's just a question of Ion clearly stating that if you think there's some kind of go-around, some kind of little, like we say in the inner city, some kind of little okey-doke, you're going to get it all the time. You ain't going to get
it's
no
like,
okey-doke.
It's like Barbara Billingsley, you're going to put some jive on us now, honey.
That's right. Ain't going to get no okey-doke here, okay? Just being clear, y'all.
Good. So it is clear. It becomes clear. So now, in your interactions, loving with love and compassion, and Bob says, what does that mean? Well, you know what love and compassion is. You meet folks.
It ain't emotion. It's not emotion.
Not emotion. That's correct. What happens is it solves many of your issues, because you would pine for everyone to get it. The only thing is that if it goes outside of it, don't fret with it. It'll work itself out individually. That's why Brian was saying this is an individual process. It has to be individual, and it's not even to call or judge. We're just laying out here how it goes down, just so everybody knows this is how it goes down. And if they some by fire, you know, it's their choice. individually. And not to say that we won't all day, every day, help the brethren. That's our business. We can handle that fine if they ask. That doesn't mean that Bob's not going to squeeze that lemon and lay it out in cash flow over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's fun because he doesn't remember what was last week, so it's all fresh and new for him. So he's perfect for that position. There's no impatience on Bob's part. He is probably the most patient of all of you put together, just because he takes it from where it is. And then what does that mean? How does that apply? Okay, what are you saying? Okay, did you mean this? Okay, how does this work? Now, once that gets cleaned up, they have every opportunity to engage. Now, if they choose to or not, that's their individual choice. Okay? But if when they come up to this place where they're going to come around it, you've just got the fallout of how that all plays.
On the dupes are not physical. We got to follow.
Well, numbers.
Well, around the world. Huh.
Right.
Numbers, chapter 1, verse 51.
Where would I put that in my little, is that near vials and bowls or down by the beast of the earth?
That's the preparations for the vial judgments, Bob.
Right, so the vials and the bowls relate to the vessels of the tabernacle, or the vessel of the tabernacle fits into that part?
Well, in the preparation for the vial judgment, yes.
Yeah, and this issue about preparation, the going through the levels of heaven, that's, and all the Armageddons and that is levels of preparation, and some off themselves while trying to prepare for the New Jerusalem. It seems to be a common theme
But that bears out in the scriptures, because if you read the book of Esther, which is about the woman who comes into her power and becomes the queen for such a time as this, she was chosen among many women, and a lot of them disqualified themselves. And that's the picture of the bride of Christ, that there are a lot of people who disqualify themselves partially because they won't put up with the process of becoming purified.
Yeah, how does Naomi apply to Esther?
Oh, Naomi and Ruth. How does Naomi apply? Well,
Naomi did what for Ruth in a parallel to Esther?
Naomi chose Ruth over her own people because of the goodness of what Ruth had offered her in her time of need.
That's correct, in a co-creating process.
That's
and
right,
that
co-creating.
And now Esther jumped into this relationship, which she wasn't so jizzed up on, but because of the love for her people, prepared herself to join in a union, an union, a union to benefit who?
Yeah, the whole nation.
That's right. Not Esther, but it was to benefit her people.
That's right. That's right.
Now, that's a coming reference for the book of Revelation of how important it is for you to come into your individual power. Remember the oxygen mask, put yours on first before you go helping everybody else, because you'll pass out before you get them helped.
Because Esther or somebody, they did it on behalf of the nation, not themselves.
Correct.
Did she get in trouble? Esther, I don't know her story.
Oh, no.
She didn't get in trouble.
She tore it up, Bob.
She totally tore it up. Well,
but she did it for the nation.
But you know what? I think the difference is that, and you know, Ion, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but
all right.
There are people who do what they do for other people, and I've been one of those people who do it to feed off other people's energy for their own validation and their own purposes. Because they're in their less than place. Esther was not in her less than place, and she chose to step in for the people.
So is that what you mean, Ion, when you say Esther will be a metaphor for that?
Yes.
Okay. Have you noticed, or did you hear us discuss in probably the later part, that the Bible, the rest of the Bible, is just echoing from the major themes in the book of Revelations? Have you thought of that, Ginny?
Oh, well, sure, absolutely. That's why when I heard Ion talk about the book of the Revelations, I said it cleans the whole thing up. You can read the whole thing afresh and anew. It has brand new meaning.
Absolutely.
You get that. You get the pentacle or pentagram or pentad of the Book of Revelations and the other subsets. Then you see all the other stories and chapters, including stuff that's not included, as echoes, resonances, as specializations of themes. You know what I mean? It's all. So the whole Bible is a sphere. No, Book of Revelations is a sphere, and then the emanations are
the
sphere.
Yeah, the Revelation set the tone for everybody else to put their two cents in worth and say the same thing from a different language point of view because of the world that they're seeing. But yeah, I mean, could you wipe out the whole Bible and just leave Revelations? Could you wipe out everything and just leave Revelations?
Okay, yeah, this is relevant to what we just said. The Book of Revelation, yes, you can get it all there, but reading the other stories is going through the vessels, the preparation, the resonant interval of figuring out what the shock of what you got from the Book of Revelation. These are other filler-in movies and a TV show to watch or something. It's a filler.
With emphasis on the filler. Exactly.
Yes. Brian?
Yeah.
Now we have a question. Based on all that that's been laid out, because, see, you're going for the bigger picture, and that's very beneficial to this process. When you're in chapter 15, in the preparation for the vow of judgment, in verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. What does the song of Moses refer to you?
It's saying the song of Moses, the servant of God. You guys still there?
Yeah
we're here.
Yeah.
Okay, got real quiet. And the song of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb, yes, because you've asked about that 90 ways to Sunday.
Just open up your mouth and talk, Brian. Don't even think about it. Just talk.
Well, see, he asked me specifically about this. I've been dwelling on what we've been speaking about before, which may tie into this about, because we were talking about those that you can't call them. And then I was on Airscience, you know, thinking about those that embrace.
Right.
The vessels, and then I was looking at, when you went to Numbers, I was looking at the very next verse, which is 52.
Uh-huh.
It talks about, you know, what happens to what I need to get cleaned up if I'm, you know, if I'm on the path here, about those that embrace vessels.
Okay, very good. We'll go with that. Numbers chapter 1, verse 52. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard throughout their host. Interesting.
Right.
So, Ion, are you saying by his own standard would be the fulcrum in your own pentad?
It would, and that's the shift of that pentad, like as you've laid out perfectly and beautifully with the reference to the angels, and like Gregory has laid out within the context of the process, okay, and like Brian has laid out with the throne. Of the emerging physical, non-physical. They all are as important as the other, but from which pentad would be the center, that's where it applies. And as Bob said clearly, they're perfectly easily interchangeable, and you can't really point one as more important than the other. They all merge together, but if you have a focus, just like your completed DNA, you'll start at one strand, and then it reverberates and repeats from that wherever you start.
Okay. So that would be your standard.
That's correct.
So if you're in a conversation, like let's say, like Greg and I were talking, and I was focused on one part of the fulcrum and he was focused on another, that's his own individual or my own individual, and neither one is wrong,
it's just that particular standard. So you would lay off of that aspect of it and just focus on the overall, just as long as they've got a part of the pentad and they've got a fulcrum point. That's what is the point there.
Okay, Jeannie, that is exactly right. So when do you get to the seventh vial in chapter 16, verse 17?
I don't know.
Okay. Tell us what that says.
Oh, the seventh vial. Hold on just a second.
Which is chapter 16, verse 17.
Okay, hang on.
Want me to read it?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done.
That is nigh.
It is done is nigh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It went based on what you just said, applying it to the seventh vial, the it is done now starts to get you heels clicking. Okay? Because the it is done mean is not coming, not waiting, not developing, not what are all those wordy words that we use all the time that everyone uses like they know what they mean. It is done, meaning fait au complete, when you get to the seventh vial.
Okay.
And so, Brian, could you read that again? That what is that? What part of the Bible is that?
Chapter 16, verse 17, the seventh vial.
Right. Could you? I know what that refers to. Is that what you're referring to, Ion? What I know?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Could I hear that again?
Please.
And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done.
That's in Revelations?
Yes.
Yes.
16, verse 17.
Right, so it sounds like the ending of the preparatory stuff.
Yes, very good. In the seventh month, that's exactly right.
Right, in the seventh month. So,
which is this month.
Which is today. So the larger preparation, is that since Ion showed up, or the preparation since 911, or since...
No. We're good. We're salt. We won't beat you up, Bob. You humans thin the veil. You humans, for such a day as this, for such timing as this, ushered in non-physical to give you a representation or a hand in this process to bring it forth.
Absolutely.
And that's what this conversation is regarding. And now we've...
Wait. When you say this, you mean the last 2 minutes or the last 3 hours? What's this conversation?
The one that started with Revelation's rewrite.
Yeah, you mean this series, but the 3-4 hours we've been doing.
Don't you find it it odd that there are those who engaged Revelations who were not available for this interaction?
Right.
Don't you find it odd that there are others who, if they had delved into it a bit more, even though Greggy helped every way he could, and Brian helped every way we could, and Jeannie's just trying to get happy with the whole process of fitting into this whole thing, that others could have been here as well? Would they not have been in a desirous position, just as Brian clearly? Because actually, this is Brian's manifestation, by the way. Now, it was JW's, too. JW was ready to give up a testicle. He was busted to get to here. But it was falling not in any realm that was, he was pushing. Then you don't push Bob. Bob will go with you anywhere, but you don't push Bob. Now, just don't push Bob, because it ain't going to serve you long. But it ain't going to be easy with it. Bob is easy. He'll show up, and he'll play harder than anybody on the team. But you ain't going to put, he ain't going to pinch hit for nobody. Okay? Brian's desire ushered forth an engaging process. Actually, it was, he laid it out of how to do it and what would be appropriate and what would be okay. And that's what made this even available. Because he had a desire. He wanted to talk to somebody about the thing that euphorically was giving new girth to his life force in this process of this thing he's embraced that he didn't even get all of, but he wanted to have a way to have conversation. Now, we didn't quite keep by the rules and regulations because we were supposed to be on the sidelines and being real quiet and shh, don't interrupt and that kind of stuff. And we've tried, Bob. We really did try best we could. And we'll try to behave. But the insights that are being laid out here are the very canticles, Virginia, that
yes,
will be.
Yes, I heard, Zion. I thought earlier when I wrote it all out. I got it.
Yep.
When was that, right. Virginia? Earlier today or when did you write it out?
No, earlier tonight, Bob.
Right. Yeah, during this you wrote something out.
Yeah, because this was the canticle. Remember our conversation on my reading on Saturday?
Yeah.
And we talked about the canticle that would be laid out, and we laid it out tonight. I saw it all. I saw it all.
Right.
Somebody's got to teach him the Song of Moses.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to come up with the showbread.
Right.
Somebody's got to deliver it, Brian.
Okay.
Somebody's got to know the road, Brian. Somebody's got to tote that bale without any fear.
What? It delivers it? Song of Moses, what was the third thing?
Showbread. The showbread.
Showbread, right.
Somebody's got to make it. Somebody's got to talk about it. Somebody's got to deliver it. We got to set the complete right here.
Now.
And someone's got to put it down. Someone's got to naysay it.
Somebody's got to bring it to orgasm. So that's Bob. We'll let Bob have contrast to bring it to orgasm.
Bob is the master of gizgasm. That's my
gizgasms while you wait. That's right.
I'm the original lover who loves.
There you go. And now here we go. Now this isn't a complete thing, though. There are others. They've actually privately already been identified. Okay, because see...
What do you mean, others?
Others will come.
Okay.
And be others part of this conversation.
Absolutely. They'll come, participate, and bring even fuller dynamics of this process. Okay? And that's beautiful. No problem. But just always keep in the back of your mind numbers, starting at Chapter 1, starting at 50. And don't worry about it, because that'll work itself out. It'll come out wash day. If it's good, it'll come out. And if it's not good, it'll come out. You needn't get uneasy about it. It'll flow.
Why are you saying remember the numbers, Ion? Numbers,
verse chapter 1, verse 50 through 53, we got all the way through to the point that if there's something that comes among us to try to usurp this process, you just smile. It'll work. It'll come out wash day.
Yes, so I
give no attention to it.
What's the Song of Moses?
Well, ask Jenny Bell.
Okay, what's the Song of Moses, Jenny?
La 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 la.
No, fa so la 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 fa so la la.
There you go. There you go.
Well, okay. Hey, Brian, what do you think the Song of Moses is? give us, just open your mouth. It'll come out.
Well, I think it's, I don't know. It comes to me as when, in the supplements, in chapter 23, you know, and fish never ended.
I'd say the song of Moses is my chart.
No, no. But it all applies to your chart. But the actual song of Moses is one that no man can learn until he gets to the throne.
Is there a song of, is that phrase in the Bible somewhere, song of Moses?
Yes, Bob. It's the song that was. The song will be.
Okay. Hey, Bob, we got it for you. Chapter 15, verse 3.
Okay.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb.
Hey, could you say that again?
Yes. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb.
Now, we agree that the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb, that's all talking about the DNA and the 144,000?
Not necessarily, because see, that's what's slain on the altar. You have to go back.
Yeah. So what's slain? What is the meaning of the lamb, and when it's slain?
The blood of the lamb has to be shed, spilt.
And what is that blood that's shed?
Okay, fellers, ladies.
Well, activated DNA in the blood.
Isn't that the later phase? What is the phase before?
Chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Now, Jenny Bell, your reference there is Ezekiel 32:32.
Okay, so Ion, you're saying the Lamb, you just did Revelations 13:8. Okay, but what is the Lamb, the blood before it's shed?
Jenny Bell, come on, y'all got to play. So Bob's going to squeeze it. If y'all don't engage, he won't.
Okay, the lamb, the blood of the lamb that was shed before is the sacrifice.
That's correct.
Is it got anything to do with the later DNA, 144,000 blood?
That's perfect. Brian, you know about that. You know about that. Tell about the difference before when the lamb is on the altar that's before the throne, in the elders and the beast and the elders and the saints and the beast are standing around the throne and the lamb is slain and the blood is shed is a representation of?
It's a representation of that has gotten over the labyrinth mind and has, how did you do that out with the degree, has, I want to say there's a better phrase than gotten over the 6 degrees of separation,
I thought that the previous state was a fallen state. Is that not the way to look at it?
It's okay.
Well,
if you're going to go there, you got to go to chapter five, Bob.
Transition. It's the transition. Yeah, I mean, when I see between, you know, the fallen state and you've gotten over severance of your mind and degrees of separation into this, you know, and that's the activation process.
It's the sacrifice. sacrifice of, it's the little lamb, it's the sacrifice of bringing yourself into the ascension process and releasing whatever has gone before that keeps you in your less than state, so that you can begin to even apprehend that you may be a God, that this may be a process for you, and it's the beginning of that resonance with it, but you're not complete in it. You're just bringing the sacrifice of all you've already known to the process so that you can begin the process of ascension.
Why do they call it a sacrifice, Virginia? Why is it called a sacrifice?
Okay.
I would have registered this, Ian. I wanted to say you, however Ian says it. After you said all that, Virginia, I'm going, ooh.
Okay. Look
you
up.
You get the
I
joke
say,
there? You get the joke?
Yeah, you.
No. I'm vomiting at all that Ginny said. Because
okay.
It was wordy. It's a joke, Ginny. I'm not reaming you out. It's a joke.
Somebody look up Isaiah 53, verse 7, and then we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 6.
Ion, when you start talking so much, you interrupt the interval so I can't say my jokes. That's not cool. You're talking too much.
I couldn't get
my joke in.
You did. It was great. We liked
it.
Nobody
knew what it was.
No, Bob, I got it. A U is a male goat. Yeah, I got it.
I ain't saying
E-U-E.
No,
a U is a female.
I'm not saying that. No.
A U is a female goat.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about that tone of disgust. It's just all that Ginny said, is that really what we're talking about?
It is exactly, and we're going to reference it now.
If you use meaning. Remember, we should be doing angel response here to what we're talking about. We should be in a state of being where we're not identifying with the meanings as they unfold. You guys are angels. I'm talking to you as angels.
Okay. You're absolutely, Bob.
I just want to let's not get too bogged down, because we are, I appreciate what I was doing, but we're getting into just listening to Ion elaborate the meaning. Let's go back. How the heck do you get on the throne?
Well, that. Oh, sorry, that's not a.
You got to prepare. You got to prepare for that.
Well, you come into your place of power.
How do you do that?
You've got to do it through the pentad, Bob. There's a standard that you have. Each individual human creator has their own personal standard. They have their own point of reference within the pentad, and from that place, they begin to choose that focal point, and all the other points revolve around it. And in the case of the little lamb, which is the sacrifice, all you're doing is bringing everything that you know that's outside of that pentad, and you're dropping it so that you can get on the throne, and then you enter into your process. It's that simple.
I put it this way. I'm going to walk down the street. I'm going to encounter somebody I might know. He's going to start talking to me. I'm going to talk back. That interplay involves all the five themes. How much do I in authority to him or be a power? How much do I emanate the new blood of the land? How much do I emphasize my throne and not overlay with his? How much do I acknowledge time? How much do I consider whether this is an angel? All that adjustment, yes, but you do not do that with the person. You do not ignore them.
You have to fake
involvement. This is being polite, because we're talking about humans getting along and how they get out of the need to get along.
But
it's all about how you get along with your fellow human and what you do when you encounter the stranger on the street. And you're not going to start citing the five pentads. You're going to have to know how to be in each moment.
I know, but Bob, if you're listening for the five pentads, if you know that there are, if you know that that's the fulcrum, and you're listening to the person, and like you said, you meet them where they're at, and they start to allude to their issue with their own powerlessness, their less than state, or their own physical decline.
Do you respond to that? Do you say, no, that's where they're at, or maybe I'll try to tell them something, but no, I can't tell them. What do you say
Finnegan's Wake is all revolves around when HCE meets the cad in the park and he asks the cad what time it is. There is a simple interaction of humans. That is the eternal drama that we're all engaged in. So let's remember that. That's being practical. What am I going to say to the post? The postman rings the doorbell and he wants my attention for 10 minutes and I'm on the middle of this. What is the correct way to respond to that? Whether I should even consider a correct way. Let's remember the process of interaction with your fellow humans is what anything that anybody says in the realm of wisdom is about. I do not cite my Finnegan's Wake knowledge to the postman. Oh, maybe I will sometime. It's a joke. That's what I meant, Ginny. We can spew off stuff. But it doesn't relate to the next moment of what I'm going to do when something happens around me. How do I react intelligently? And there's no standard for that. We're getting guidelines here about whether you should help or not help and all the implications of that.
I know, but the only thing of it is that in the what Ion had said earlier, which I think was a very cool point, which is that the counsel, the secret of counsel and wisdom, is to be able to interact in the interplay without a dogmatic stance. So you're not positioned on any of it, Bob, and you know that better than anybody. Because
that's what I'm saying right now, yeah.
Okay, so you're the king of not taking a position except against a position, which is great.
No. I take a position. You can't put me in that position either.
That's exactly right.
That's what you're saying, Bob.
That's exactly what I said. So how beautiful is that?
Here's an example. We were talking in my little Coming Into Your Power class Tuesday, and there was a guy there who has some Indian rituals and does those Indian rituals, and he was going to this place in an altered world. And he was kind of giving his power away, and Virginia just said, no, this was you doing it. Well, maybe. No, not maybe. Yes, it was. So she just took one point, placed her interpretation on it, and he's either going to take it or he's going to reject it. But she's going to state her place without any references to a McLuhanism or a Bible or Revelation. She's just going to say, no. You created this, not maybe, yes, you did. And she did that very beautifully, and he just took it in stride. That's a concrete example, Bob, of you being on the street, meeting someone, and you just say your word. Your word is, no, you created this, yes, you did, no, maybe. That was a perfect example of her, of what she's trying to explain here.
Yeah, and what comes to mind is, we see these, the Armageddon scenarios, the 9-1-1 that's laid out in Revelations, these collectivity issues. It's the collapse. It's these collectivities crashing and colliding in the beginning of the end period, which apparently ended today. That is it. Where did those collectivities happen when it's really about the stranger, the Samaritan meeting the stranger, or whatever that parable was, you know, and whether to help the guy on the street, the Good Samaritan. The simple interaction of two people is what it was for original man, or for humans, if there ever was a point, when there weren't millions of people. It's the clash of these linguistic institutions is what Christianity per se deals with.
I know, but just like Dion said, the remedy for that is you got to teach him the Song of Moses. You got to give them the showbread, and you got to deliver it to them. That's the remedy. So the Song of Moses is not words; it's a song. The showbread's the showbread, and you get it out there to the people, and then they get to choose. Because, like I said, human creators are powerful enough to keep themselves in bondage to see it all day, every day. So as long as we're in our place of joy, doing what we love to do, and we're doing our little piece, just like you're doing your little piece. Everybody wins or not, but it's all good.
Yeah, and I'm applying it to what we're analyzing. Ion is bringing in the interpersonal wisdom, the secret counsel of your sovereignty in relation to major media archetypes. which is the problem that led John to write this thing, and what Nostradamus saw.
I know, but Bob, that's your job, is to merge the five bodies into one, remember?
No, I don't have jobs.
Okay, just so we're all clear. Just so we all know.
Yes. I just think what I'm just saying is relevant to juxtapose against the point about one person meeting another person.
My take on this, Bob, and where I am is, as you come more and more into your place of power, and when you come across somebody, as you're saying, on the street, or you interact, you will see their place. You'll know your place, and you'll see them. You'll act accordingly. You'll know, look, this guy's in whatever place he is, you're going to recognize it, and, you know, you're going to, the way I see it, you're going to know that you're not going to quote.
Answer a unasked question.
There you go. That's perfect. Answer any unasked question. That is perfect. Perfect word, Greg Sanders. Good.
Right. So what I'm seeing is that what we're analyzing here is, you know, that old statement, ontogeny replays phylogeny, the development of the individual replays the development of the species. So you got two parallel tracks. You got the word of collectivities, which is the accumulation of humans interacting and then hanging around each other and not maintaining their sovereignty, plus the truth of what one is no matter what. It's only your world. It's always only your world and how you can have your throne. There's parallel discourses going on here. Would you agree with that, Ion?
Of course.
In the Book of Revelations. So we might want to indicate
Book
which track we're... When we're commenting, the Book of Revelation is a wall. It's been solidified. So the mortar is all the Armageddon institutions that we're watching and those causing that, the war in Iraq or whatever. And then you have the private kingship that's happening, or queenship, these two, and that's in the world of stone. So you got stone and mortar. We are dismantling the wall, the mortar that made the wall, the 2,000-year Bible story, which we discussed at the very beginning. We're working these two tracks. We might want to say, okay, I'm addressing mortar now, and say your bid. Then you say, I'm addressing word, stone, personal sovereignty in this part. We're juggling the two discourses here.
Okay, now, Bob, this is the only thing that I would say, and Ion, I'm asking for you to correct it in case I do say it improperly. What I'm starting to think or believe or know about this whole interaction is that in the world of language, which I have extracted myself from because I'm in my process of ascension, my words are the utterance of the kingship words. And I don't have to worry about what I'm addressing because I know that my words are the utterance that is bringing forth that word, the creative word. So I don't have to question, am I in the world of language or am I in the world of the word? Because I am the word. The word becomes flesh. That's our whole process.
I think Ion has said that the world of mortar and stone is merging.
No.
Ion?
Mortar and stone is not merging. It's separating. Language is going away. Words are becoming more powerful.
I would agree with that. I call
that merging. They're not merging.
And I call that the unfolding of the mystery landscape. Mystery would be more into individual sovereignty because no one
that's
can
right.
gauge what anybody is doing in that path.
Great, until it becomes known, and then everybody knows.
That's correct, because Steve Ion's also said the world of contracts is collapsing, because that's the world of language, so
yeah.
You would enter into contracts and da-da-da-da-da, and this is what's going on with the whole mortgage banking industry and blah-blah-blah-blah-blah, and so...
Neither a borrower nor a lender be, clearly,
that's right.
Laid out.
There you go. So the whole thing is about your individual sovereign words, your own universe creating. And as I am in that process and I'm aware that that's what's happening, then that is what I will bring forth. and the world of language is collapsing and will be superseded by this world that has no words.
Right. Now, we go back an hour. Ion said an interesting thing. I'm responding to what you're saying. He said, what about the new Tower of Babel? What's interesting is that the world of modern language has merged to create a perfect collective Esperanto that Ion can enter and say, dispense the wisdom. So the Endromeme has built itself so that it can suicide itself, but at least provide the service that everybody can hear this personal truth, what do you want to call it, the Ion truth, before it collapses, before the Endromeme collapses. That may be the good, the useful part of the Tower of Babel, the new Tower of Babel.
Well, and that would be its reasonable service.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Brian. We were going back to the Lamb and the reference that we were back before in chapter 5 of the sealed book, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, and which the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book, the scroll, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, there's where you're... Who did we lose?
No, I'm here. Greg's here.
Is Ginny here?
I'm here.
So it was Brian.
Well, let's wait on him a minute, because this was the cleaning. What this is fixing to clean up is the difference between language and
stone. No, I see that.
Clean up language and what I am, the stone?
Yeah.
Yeah, the word. Mortar. Language is mortar. Stone is word.
Thank you. I just didn't hear it, Bob.
Yeah, I'll repeat this for Brian, but I was just about to say, wow, that quote you just said applies to what we were just talking about.
Imagine that, Bob.
Ion can be useful.
Ion, you're really hot tonight.
Yeah, you're on a roll tonight, Ion.
For such an hour as this.
So much more.
What is that in Revelation, so I can note that?
Oh, it's in, what, like we said, chapter 5, verse 6.
Oh, okay, 5, verse 6. I had 5 down before, but I didn't have the number. So you got the little book, you got the lamb, you got the beast. So the beast.
This is the sealed book. This is the sealed book. It's not the little book. That's about Reggie.
Right. The beasts and elders have something to do with this mortar stone thing, right?
Certainly, Bob.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, you know, Brian can always be, he could be gone for 20 minutes. I don't know if he stopped his truck, but he could.
He's at home.
He's at home.
Oh, okay.
He's good.
He just had his change up.
So if his batteries, I mean, I don't know what people use today. If his battery's out, he puts his batteries in, or he has another phone being energized like we do?
Plug it up. You just plug it up.
How does he get his dead phone going again?
Hello, back.
Right, Brian. What did you do to your? What do you do to your phone to get back?
I don't
put batteries.
No, this one here. I got to put it on I got to put it on a charger to plug it in.
Okay, so you plug it in for how long?
Well, he
can talk, Bob, while it's plugged into his charger.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's been put someplace.
Well, if it goes out, I'll connect my mic and then just talk directly on the phone.
Oh,
okay.
So is your mic
Ryan, here's where we are. You were asking about the lamb, and we came to, and we were talking about mortar as language and stones as creation. Chapter 5, the sealed book. Verse 6. And how far along did we get before you leaped out?
I don't know. Read it again, Ion.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book, or the scroll, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, Jenny Bell, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, this is the lamb that we're talking about. And it's mingled. The blood of the lamb is a part of all of the blood, because the original power as God was mingled through all people. So the reference here, the blood of the lamb, which was the question that we were posing to Brian, because that was his point of interest of connection, separate from the throne issue of the human creator coming into their place of power, is the reference. So the blood of the lamb, Bob, is not the 144,000 DNA. The blood of the lamb represents when humans were in their place of power, what that blood looks like.
Of course.
I mean, when they were in their power, it went before the fall. Blood of the lamb is the pre-fall blood.
Yes, and you have to have that to judge if you're worthy to sit on the throne or not.
You have to have that to do the judgment.
To see if you're, quote, ascended or not.
You have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do have it. We do have it, right?
We do. You know where we got it? You know where we got it?
Well, isn't it symbol for non-physical?
Where did you get it? No. Where did you get it at?
Isaiah 53, verse 7.
We have to look back to the place where we were pre-fall to triangulate the place of our knowingness now. And it's a remembering, because we've all been there, done that. It's a memory.
Okay. Yes, in that remembrance. Now, we in Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to start in verse 6.
Hey, Ion, you could not get into the New Jerusalem unless you had access and were part of the pre-fall condition, and everybody has that.
It's your access code, Bob.
It's the access code, right?
Now, here we go. This syncs it up. I'm sorry.
No, man, Bob, you'll like this.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his goddamn mouth. Oh, wait, we added that little part. And he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So when you're talking to the postman, you don't have to say nothing.
Yeah.
Right. All that worry about interaction, just blow it out the door, because it ain't. There's no ears to hear. And what, by the way, I'm an expert on throwing pearls to swine. So
Lord, bless your heart, baby. Yes, yes, Lord, have mercy. That's right.
I am an expert on pearls to swine.
Right.
That's it.
So what were you quoting? What's the coordinates of that verse?
That would be Isaiah 53:6-7. And it's very interesting, but now we didn't want to bore you with the rest of it, but it was pretty good stuff.
And I quoted Greg chapter 2, verse 7, Bob.
Yeah.
See, so now there's a syncing up going on here. And Jenny, you're kind of giggly here, girl. We get this. Because every point, and Bob, you're absolutely perfect in putting this together, because were you not avidly squeezing this to the point to fruition, you'd miss something. And that's what this interaction's doing best, is point by point by point by point by point, cleaning it up, make a mess, clean it up, make a mess, clean it up, lather, rinse, repeat. Then after a little bit, just as we've sort of laid out, there's nothing else to do. That's right. The trick of this. It's to get, Brian, as you well know, get to the throne. Get to the, right. to the altar. Get the blood of the Lamb. Let them bow before you. Come into your Godship. Get on with the fun of having fun, and then whatever you contain in your world, each is set to his own. Please yourself. And then you won't have to have that interaction. Now, Bob, you're right. Now, there's nothing wrong with interacting. But at the same time, there's no reason to take the pearl of great price and, you know, slop the hogs with it. It's not required.
Emphasizing the withdrawal from the world of language is an antidote to this thing, but once you understand that, then you can engage with people.
Exactly. That's exactly right, because they are where they are, and you take them at that level, and just and love, 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 love them right wherever they are. And if they what they don't get, that's perfectly all right. And what they do get, that's perfectly all right. And it becomes the engagement of the fastest path to your own joy, which is allows you that joyful obedience. We've said that about 1,216,499 times so far for that process. And that obedience is subject only to yourself. Because, hell, you've got the elders, and you got the angels, and you got the beast bowing before you, damn self. Who else needs to bow? So when we make the statement of when something's going on, you walk in and you say, hey, I got this. Stand back and watch the miracle-working power of an ever-loving God. They'll bow.
Hey,
because that's not authority, that's power.
Right. Listen to this. You take the five parts of the Pentad. Power and authority deals with the world of language. Time deals with the world of language. So that's the mortar. Then the stone world is your own blood of the Lamb, your DNA, and your throne. So you've got 2 points, time and power on the mortar side. You have the DNA, blood of the Lamb thrown on the stone side. In between the two is the angels.
And see, Jenny laid it out as the center or the fulcrum that that balance is on. We don't disagree, but having a different conversation with someone having a different pinnacle in the middle, okay, that could shift. And that's what Jenny was acknowledging, is that for her, if she gets that, she knows all the rest of it is already cleaned up. And like Brian was saying, if I can get to the throne, all those details will work themselves out, and the angels will.
Well, here's a detail. The reason the angels are in the interval between the private stone world and the public mortar language world is the angels are the only medium of exchange that actually can affect someone else's life. Only the angels can smote someone. You can't kill somebody, but you can get an angel to do it. So it's very, that explains the role of the angels. They're in the interval, in the confusing interplay of your own creation and the interaction with the group.
Says it's riddled all through the Bible, and Jenny can stand as a good reference that anytime some big nasty something needs to get done, God summons the angel to do the business.
So now, there to do the business,
to do whatever needs to be doing.
Okay, I just didn't hear your last word.
Yeah.
Right.
Smoting, the angel of the Lord come down and smote hell out of them.
Yeah, now, the other day we had a session, private session with Deborah West, and it was so good, we decided we're going to make it public, and she reviewed it, and there's just a few little points to delete that are not comfortable for other people to hear that she's connected to. But we ended up in a very, she extended for 2 hours, we ended up in a very good discussion that I was really interested, and at the end I started saying, so angels are the world of media. And what I was getting at is now clarified. The angels are that interface between that world of collectivity and language and mortar with the private world. And so any part of the media language world that's solid, that role is done by angels. So television are angels. See, it's very interesting that the media is angels.
Television are angels. You mean angels or television?
Yeah, something like that. They're both. I'm talking about this interface, and the angels relate to you personally, and they relate to the other world, other person, or something that they take your beck and your order. So they're the way of, they're the bridge, and all media are bridges. So it's really interesting. The angel is a representative of the bridge. And a bridge can be a metaphor. The public language becomes solid mortar when the metaphor becomes stronger than your own word power. And that goes back to what we were saying an hour ago about metaphor versus fact.
Well, why am I not getting that the metaphor could be stronger than your word power?
That's because it's the difference between language.
Yeah, you get stuck in language. You get stuck in the metaphor, in the
because
sign, in the
use
symbol.
You use powerful words to necessitate language, and that's the issue.
Right.
But most people don't know what the hell even their powerful words mean. Half the people you talk to, it's just they're using words that have no, that aren't even.
Yeah, because they're lost in the world of mortar, in the world of metaphor.
What do you mean, Greggy? OMG, what is the BFD?
Hey, Ian, he went, aha, I think you got me, right, Greg? You got what I said.
Yeah, I did get that.
Good. Okay, I just want to register that, Ion. Then what were you saying, Ion?
And then when he says, what do you mean, Greggy? OMG, exactly what is the BFD? Those aren't words.
That's metaphor.
And it's also what the society's moving to. LMAS, what is it, laughing my ass off?
Yeah.
They're leaving words because language is fucking them. So they're going to just simple letters to avoid language altogether. And the only issue with that is now you have to attach a word to the letters to give it credence. But yet everybody knows what BTW means.
And when we remove the body language and we remove the emotion from the voice or from the spoken word, then haven't we not diminished tremendously what it is we're trying to impart?
Language.
Great. What did you say? You remove what? What did you remove?
You remove body language and you remove emotion from your communication. So what do we have left but a small, emphatic that can be interpreted a million ways to Sunday. And I think what I'm sensing here, that's a more clear form of communication than trying to get into a million-word dialogue on
a
telephone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, language is...
I listened to a reporter who was kidnapped in Afghanistan, and he was held by the Taliban, who were completely illiterate. They wanted him to convert to Islam, and he said, I could not lie to these people. They would know I was lying because they were illiterate. All they had to rely on was their vision, their spoken word.
You mean illiterate?
Oh, sorry, yes. I meant illiterate. So he knew if he was attempting to convert to Islam and hadn't truly converted, they would have killed him because he would say, yes, I believe in Muhammad, and they would know instinctively that he was lying.
Well, they would believe in Allah and
Allah.
By the words of Muhammad, because otherwise they'd kill you for that, too.
Okay.
See how tricky this shit gets if you're dealing with language? But when you bring it back into just the word, then very easily what happens is he could have clearly laid it out in such a way that Allah would be praised, okay, and not convert to nothing.
Okay. Because Allah's just another metaphor for your...
And if you're strolling along and you actually find your dick in the dirt, you have the power to call the angels and smote their damn ass. And then there won't be no big discussion about it. Say, come on, Taliban, let's play. Me or you one, sticks and get a whipping. I don't know which one, but he that's in me is greater than all y'all put together. So
yeah, that's
bring it on.
Taliban or any kind. Go ahead. What?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, how could John of Patmos done this differently?
Well,
okay, that's a new. I just want to say to supplement what we've said. The Taliban represent the extreme allegiance to the language.
Yes, very good. Very good, because you got to remember when John was in hiding writing this language, laying it out, he was in hiding because his language would certainly have him done away with.
But if they're illiterate, Bob, if Taliban's illiterate, how can they be reading the Quran?
They don't. They speak the Quran.
Oh, thank you. Got it.
There's zombies replays of the oral tradition, the old hypnosis,
right.
The old
right.
media, the old right. metaphor. And
yeah.
and that's an identity crisis of that part of the world's language. Just like, you know, Christian fundamentalism is the printed book's identity of Christ.
And the reference that you'll find for what Bob's talking about is with Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Yeah.
That's where that separation starts falling into the different outside tribal literacy is referenced.
That's the first kind of scene on the first page of Finnegan's Wake, the three sons seeing Noah being drunk. I think it was Noah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't drunk. It was he's naked.
That's right.
Naked.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
And
right.
So what they did was to cover their papa's nakedness. See, before that it wasn't a problem, but after that it was a problem. They backed in with a fur sable, we're sure, or at least a ranch mink, backed him up and covered up his nakedness so that he wouldn't be defiled in their eyes.
Okay, now I'm going to bring it around, see if this works. The modern vessels of the tabernacle is the Android meme, which allows kids to communicate with less language and just use, iconography, laughing my ass off. The diminishing of language provided by the Android meme is a vessel of preparation to move into the mystery landscape as a known situation. The last 30 years of the Android meme has been that's part of the meaning of my chart. It's a preparation working through because you couldn't get right into it in the 50s and 60s. They thought they got there, but then they had a period of learning and resonant interval, and that was the replay by the Android meme. And you see the proof of that because it got to the point where the kids are engaging in the Android meme, less language, and skeletal alphabet, like very flimsy. Well, I'll make a token effort to engage in the world of mortar. And the technology has allowed us to get to that point. Could that be a vessel on the collective level, in the world of mortar, a vessel of the tabernacle?
If you want to look at it that way, the example of that be all your super-duper fat cat rich people don't even have college degrees.
Right. So Ion shows up. You know, Alice Bailey, the theosophist, says that says that the second coming, and she meant Jesus Christ, what happened on the radio, Ion's not happening on the radio. Ion's happening in the Android meme. It's interesting that Ion, as the iconic representation of our own individual word power, shows up at the extreme point of the Antichrist, or what you want to call the beast and the matrix and all that, to come right in the middle of it and begin to melt everything to assist the melting that the media will... to assist the melting that we yearn for.
Okay, Brian?
Yes.
Now, is this what you had in mind?
This whole, our series tonight?
Yeah.
Is this what you, when you had a desire, is this that desire?
Absolutely it is.
Is there more?
Is there more? Meaning by, is there more to cover, or what do you say? What, I don't understand.
Well, no. From your desire of having a way to engage and gain even more insights than has already been displayed. Okay, that there's been more cleanup yet with the little ticklers that were left that you've engaged with the Revelation series. There's even more insight that's opened up. Now, is there even beyond this insight that you've gained so far? Well, let's say it a different way. What else do you want to know, Brian?
Well, I mean, specifically, there's more to cover. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
I would say there's much, much more to cover, but and then
granted,
that's the point, and we'll get to it. But what's happening now, and this whole engagement, and it's just great. This will get us to the more.
Yes.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's just I love it.
But this is what you had in mind when you wanted some like-minded somebodies to chat with regarding this, what you've embraced as it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.